Representative Umberger. I'll ask Representative Umberger to call the roll.
Please state your location after you have indicated that you're present. Ken Weiler.
I'm in Kingston. I'm in this room alone, and I'm present.
Okay. Lynn Ober.
I'm present. I'm in Hudson. As always, I have assorted cats and a husband wandering about.
Representative Umberger, yes, I'm in my home in Kearsarge. Representative Leishman.
Hey, good morning, Karen. Peter Leishman here in Peterborough at home alone.
Okay. Representative Emmerich.
I'm here in my home in Hampton alone.
Senator Daniels.
I'm in my home office in Milford, and no one else is in the room.
Senator Bradley.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. Jeb Bradley. I am at our condo with Karen and Napoleon, who you've probably heard in the background.
Senator Hennessy.
Good morning, Aaron Hennessy. I'm at my home in Littleton, and my children are in and out of the room.
Senator Rosenwald.
Good morning. I'm in my home in Nashua, and I am alone in the room.
Senator D'Alessandro.
Senator D'Alessandro, I'm at my home in Manchester, and I'm alone.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
We will now organize the committee. I am, by law, the chair. The tradition to elect the vice chair is usually the chair of the Senate Finance Committee. I'll entertain a motion to nominate Representative Daniels as the vice chair.
I'll move that to nominate Senator Daniels.
And that was
Bradley.
That was Senator Bradley made the motion. Is there a second?
Second, Emmerich.
Senator Representative Emmerich seconds. Are there any further nominations? All those in favor of Representative Daniels, say aye.
Do we have to do
a roll call in every one of these?
Yes.
Governor's executive order. All right. I guess we'll have to do a roll call on this, Representative Umberger.
Okay. Representative Ober.
Yes.
Representative Leishman.
Yes.
Representative Emmerich.
Yes.
Representative Umberger. Yes. Senator Daniels.
Yes.
Senator Bradley.
Yes.
Senator Hennessy.
Hennessy, yes.
Senator Rosenwald.
Yes.
Senator D'Alessandro.
Senator D'Alessandro votes yes.
Representative Weiler.
Yes.
Okay. The vote is 10 yes and 0 no's.
All right. And the senator is elected as vice chair, Senator Daniels. I'll now entertain a motion to nominate the fiscal committee clerk.
Move Representative Umberger, Leishman.
Second, Hennessy.
All right, a motion and a second to elect Representative Umberger as the clerk. The clerk will call the roll on that nomination.
Representative Ober.
Yes.
Representative Leishman.
Yes.
Representative Emmerich.
Yes.
Representative Umberger. Yes. Senator Daniels.
Yes.
Senator Bradley.
Yes.
Senator Hennessy.
Hennessy, yes.
Senator Rosenwald.
Yes.
Senator D'Alessandro.
Yes.
Representative Wyler.
Yes.
The vote is 10-0. Motion passes.
Motion passes. Thank you. Now we need to appoint the legislative budget assistant. I'll entertain a motion to nominate Michael Kane.
So moved. This is Lynn Ober.
I'll second that. This is Senator D'Alessandro.
All right. We have a motion to elect Michael Kane as the legislative budget assistant. The clerk will call the roll on that motion.
Okay.
And this is a 2-year term.
All right. Okay. Representative Ober.
Yes.
Representative Leishman.
Yes.
Representative Emmerich.
Yes.
Representative Umberger. Yes. Senator Daniels.
Yes.
Senator Bradley.
Yes.
Senator Hennessy.
Hennessy, yes.
Senator Rosenwald.
Yes.
Senator D'Alessandro.
Yes.
Representative Wyler.
Yes.
The vote is 10-0.
Thank you. Does everyone have a copy of the rules and procedures of the fiscal committee?
No.
I move.
Don't.
Someone? You do not have it?
I don't.
All right. I don't think any of us have.
Hi, Representative. I can go over them for you if you would like. If you did get the agenda and you click on organization of the committee, you will find them on the second page. But if you would like that, I can read through them. Just a quick summary if you would like.
No, I've got that as part of the agenda.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Does everybody see it and have it on the agenda?
Could Mike just read through it? I don't have the agenda up on the computer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mike, I guess you're going to read through it.
Absolutely. For the record, my name is Michael Kane. I'm the legislative budget assistant, and I thank you very much for the vote of confidence you had just taken. As far as fiscal committee rules and procedures, these are, as it relates to committee actions, number one is that the committee requires that any requested action made pursuant to RSA 124-15, establishing any new position or continuation of an existing position, either full-time or part-time, or the hiring of consultants, be for the current biennium only. And so this is a standard practice of fiscal committee to only approve acceptance and expenditure of funds through the current biennium. We're currently in the FY 2021 biennium, so all actions will end on June 30, 21, until the new biennium begins. Number two, the committee requires that any requested action made pursuant to RSA 1438-6, the acceptance and expenditure of funds is also for the biennium only. And also, any request made under following statutes will be put on the consent calendar. And these are RSA 916A, which is for transfers, RSA 916C, relative to transfer of federal grant funds specifically, RSA 917D, transfer of appropriations for the judicial branch, RSA 1438, the acceptance and expenditure of funds over $100,000, and RSA 124-15, positions restricted. As with any consent calendar item, a member can make a recommendation or request to pull that item off consent to have an individual vote. And number four, the acceptance of a late item does require the approval of the chairman of the fiscal committee before being added to the agenda. And the last part of the rules and procedures is relative to our office. It allows myself to grant step increases on employees' anniversary dates based on satisfactory performance, as well as to reclassify positions with prior approval of the chairman of the fiscal committee, promotions with prior approval of the chairman of the fiscal committee, and to fill a vacancy in the LBA office with prior approval of the full fiscal committee. And so that's a quick summary of the fiscal committee rules and procedures.
Thank you, Mr. Kane.
Move to approve.
All right.
Second.
Motion by Representative Ober, second by Senator D'Alessandro to approve the procedure. Clerk will call the roll.
Representative Ober.
Yes.
Representative Leishman.
Yes.
Representative Emmerich.
Yes.
Representative Umberger. Yes. Senator Daniels.
Yes.
Senator Bradley.
Yes.
Senator Hennessy.
Hennessy, yes.
Senator Rosenwald.
Yes.
Senator D'Alessandro.
D'Alessandro votes yes.
Representative Wyler.
Yes.
Okay, we have the vote is 10 to 0.
And the rules and procedures are adopted. Next, we move to the acceptance of the minutes of November 20th, 2020 meeting. Is there a motion to approve those minutes?
So moved.
So moved.
Second.
I'll second.
All right, motion by Senator D'Alessandro, seconded by, I think, Senator Rosenwald. Clerk will call a roll on are there any additions or corrections to the minute? Seeing none, the clerk will call a roll.
Point of order, please.
Yes.
Point of order. If we were not a member at that time, should we vote?
If you were not a member, you can abstain. Because by reading the minutes, you wouldn't be able to find any error or omission. So if you were not a member, you would abstain. If you were not present at the meeting, you would abstain. So there'll be a lot of abstentions. Clerk will call the roll.
Representative Ober.
Yes.
Representative Leishman.
Yes.
Representative Emmerich.
Abstain.
Representative Umberger. Abstain. Representative Daniels.
Senator Daniels abstain.
Senator Bradley.
Abstain.
Senator Hennessy.
Hennessy, yes.
Senator Rosenwald.
Yes.
Senator D'Alessandro.
Senator D'Alessandro votes yes.
Representative Wyler.
Yes.
We have 6 yeses and 4 abstentions.
All right. The minutes are accepted. Moving on to our consent calendar, we have item FIS 20-256 from the Department of Education for the charter school acceptance of the charter school grant. Are there any questions?
Chairman,
yes,
Wyler,
Senator Hennessy.
I move fiscal item 20-256.
Okay, we have a motion. Is there a second? And then we'll get to discussions and questions. Is there a second?
Yeah, I'll second that, Bradley.
All right. All right. Senator Bradley seconds Senator Hennessy's motion. Are there any questions or
yes. We have Senator Rosenwald and Representative Ober.
Leishman.
Leishman.
All right. In that order, we'll have Senator Rosenwald go first.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I do have a question for the department, if they're available to answer.
So this is Brady Adelblue, and I'm on the conference line now.
Thank you.
The
department stated goal of this grant to double the number of charter school students. And given that the average grant across New Hampshire that follows that student, the charter school is now over $4,200 a year, and that totals $17 million a year that would be reduced from the school. My question is, has the department specifically calculated what might be any marginal savings to the school district budgets to offset the loss of the $17 million a year in state education aid to our cities and towns?
Yes, so thank you for that question, Senator Rosenwald. And what I will tell you is the department has actually published a policy brief on this grant that goes through a comprehensive fiscal analysis to be able to understand what the implications are of that grant. And in that white paper, we basically go through how local school districts' budgets would be affected. And we also go through how those school districts would be able to adjust their fixed expenses if students are leaving those public schools. And then we also go through some various scenario calculations that anticipate that school districts may require a period of time to adjust their fixed costs. And in even with those adjustment periods for the fixed costs that you're referring to, as students may leave the traditional public school and go to a public charter school, there are still tax advantages to New Hampshire taxpayers of a significant magnitude.
Is there a follow-up, Senator? Senator Rosenwald, has your question been answered?
Sorry, I was on mute. No, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, do you wish further information, Senator Rosenwald?
No, thank you.
All right. Representative Obers has the next question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I actually have a couple of questions. Commissioner Adelblue and I started a discussion at the governor's budget hearings. And I want to ask a couple of questions related to that. And basically, at the governor's budget hearings, just to recap for people who weren't standing in the hall listening to us, I was talking to him about the fact that we need to find a way, because I support charter schools, that every public school pupil has equitable funding. For example, we have a law that says there's a statewide education property tax that will provide money per public school pupil, and yet we don't follow that. And this year, that average has been about $2,170 per LBA. However, charter school students are public school pupils, and we are not following the law because we're not giving them that. I was talking to Commissioner Adelblue about needing some leadership from the commissioner's position to work out the equitable funding situation, because every public school pupil gets $3,882 adequacy grant this year, except if you go to a public charter school, then you got $7,168. So we've been sued because education funding isn't equitable, and I want to see charter schools go forward. So I was asking the commissioner, and by now he's had about 3 weeks to think of some answers. One, how can we start getting the statewide education property tax out to every public school pupil, which would, of course, be able to take $2,000 right off the top off of the extra money that we're giving to charter school public students, and how can we increase the funding for all of our public school students so that people see them that it is equitable, because we Republicans pass this, Democrats vote against it. We need to find a way to come together to provide adequate education for everybody. And so, Frank, if you could tell us your thoughts about providing this leadership and getting us going on this so that we stop having this party line divide, I would be so grateful.
So thank you for that question, Representative, and I do appreciate it, and I appreciate our conversation that we had previously. I think at the time of our conversation, the report was not yet out by the Commission to Study School Funding. Since our conversation, that report has come out, and there have been a number of conversations about various legislative fixes. That I know are, I don't know what the status is of those bills, but I know they're in the works to really address specifically some of what you are talking about. And I think the goal is really, as you point out, to make sure that we are funding students, right? That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to fund students and their educations. And a lot of the conversation and the bills that are being discussed, I think, are focused on that, to make sure that it is equitable across the state for all students involved in our public education system.
I'm sorry, that doesn't answer my question. My question was, what will the Commissioner of Education do to start getting this through? I understand the legislature's got some schemes, but we need some leadership from our top education guy, and unfortunately, we look to you for that, and I've been pleased with your performance, so I'm continuing to look to you for that. I want to know what you're going to propose.
So what I will continue to support is the idea of education funding on a per-pupil basis that allows funding to follow students, so then we can have an equitable system that allows students to access public educational options irrespective of the zip codes in which they live, and allows all families to access those opportunities.
One follow-up. Mr. Chairman, could we ask the Commissioner of DOE to, since he's just put a white paper together on that, to answer Senator Rosenwald's question, one, could we get a copy of that white paper? And two, could we ask him to put together a white paper with his thoughts on providing equitable funding for all public school students so we can get out of this and we can actually make charter schools a viable part of our public education and stop having party line votes? I would greatly appreciate that.
I believe the request has been entered with the commissioner, and I'm sure he will respond through the LBA. Is that so, Commissioner?
That's correct. Thank you, Representative. We're happy to support in any way we can.
Very good. Any further, Representative Ober?
No, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm just concerned about that elephant in the room, which is always the inequitable funding that we're giving to our public school students. So, you know, recently deceased leader, Representative Finch, said, let's have unity, and I'm with that, and let's unify and make charter schools viable so we can all support them.
Thank you. Representative Leishman for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I want to thank Representative Ober for her thoughtful question. I would also like to thank the commissioner who provided me with another 25 audits of our existing public charter schools, and I had a chance to go through those audits and also the websites of the charter schools, which, you know, set out some very lofty goals. And the thing that struck me, Commissioner and Fiscal Committee members, is we still have this considerable uncertainty about the funding, which in a way Lynn touched on with her question. And I found that, you know, we've got a number of schools that are relying heavily, some as much as 97% of the funding to keep their charter schools open. And what's happened is that a number of charter schools have maximized their lines of credit. Board members have loaned money to these schools. So my concern, and I don't know if the commissioner could address this further, is that with the things I've mentioned and even declining donations that these schools are getting and the $7,100 per student that the schools are getting from the state, by adding additional charter schools, how won't that even weaken the availability of funds for the existing public charter schools that we already have that we really should be propping up? and the impact that has on our traditional public schools. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
So I would come back to, go ahead, Ken.
No, I recognize the commissioner. Go ahead.
Okay. So I would go back to the white paper that we produced that addresses how these schools, both our traditional schools and our public charter schools, can thrive as we continue to move forward through this grant opportunity to them. And essentially what we're seeing is there's a difference in terms of the charter school's ability to deliver education in a different model. That's the very nature of charter schools, that there is innovation. There are different approaches in terms of how they go about delivering that instructional model. And oftentimes they are able to do that with lower funding levels. The average funding for a traditional public school student is $19,720. The average per pupil student in a public charter school is $9,473. And a lot of that is because of the innovation that we're seeing in those public charter schools. And we want to continue to create a system that encourages and stimulates that innovation and continues to do that in our public charter schools, because we learn things through that innovation that we get to transfer both among the public charter schools, but as well among our traditional public schools. I would further point out that the traditional public schools, and I've reiterated this a number of times, are eligible for these $46 million innovation grants. We have, again, previously we had some traditional schools reaching out to us who had expressed interest in these grants. Knowing that this was coming to FISCO, we have had traditional public schools who have again reached out to us and expressed interest in accessing the funding to help innovate in their traditional instructional models, and they are making inquiries about how they might access some of those grant opportunities.
Very good. Are there any further questions for Commissioner
Senator Edelblum? Sorry, Representative. We have Senator D'Alessandro and Senator Bradley have their hands raised.
Okay, we'll start with Senator D'Alessandro for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Representative Ober, Representative Leishman, and Senator Rosenwald for your queries. My query is this: at a time when we have declining enrollments, we're talking about creating more schools. At a time when we're in the middle of a virus situation where we can't get kids to school because of the problems that we're faced, we're looking to add more schools. It makes no sense to me, makes no common sense to me, to move in this direction. And it seems to me that the one thing that we should be doing is shoring up our public education system so that it can provide the education that our students need. I think at this point in time, students across the board, whether you're in a public school or a charter school, your educational experience is de minimis compared to what it should be, and we're suffering across the board as a result of this. In my opinion, we should be making every effort to shore up our public education system rather than to expand charter schools. And that's my statement, and I appreciate everybody's concern. I think we all should have concern. We've had children in schools. We have a number of our constituents who are in these schools who are not getting. Just relate to the program on 60 Minutes, where one school district in the South, 7,000 kids were unaccounted for in the district, and they had to send social workers out to find them. That's the problem that I think we should be addressing, never mind expanding charter schools at this point in time. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, and again, congratulations on your chairmanship. I hope your health is terrific, and I'm looking for a great 2 years. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. I am as well.
Here, here.
Any comment? Thank you all. Any comment, Commissioner Edelblum?
So I appreciate the Senator's perspective. I would tell you that during the pandemic, what we have seen is a number of families who have made the choice to go to many of our public charter schools who have seen increased enrollments during this period of time, as families are seeking educational environments that they think are responsive to the learning needs of their children. And so I again would reiterate, if the pandemic has, and I've said this before, which is what I'm reiterating, if the pandemic has taught us anything, it's the importance of creating options for our families, options for our students, so that they can engage, they can find a way to, have a pathway through their education that in which they can be successful.
Thank you. And we had a question from Senator Bradley.
Yeah, thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I mean, Commissioner, the answer that you just gave before about the impact of the pandemic and the need for innovation in education, isn't that why there's some 1,300 students across New Hampshire waiting for placement in a charter school?
That's true that we have a wait list at many of our schools and at many of our grade levels for students who believe that they can be more successful in a different learning environment, and so they are seeking those options. And again, as you point out, there's a wait list to get into those options.
And Mr. Chairman, if I could ask a further question,
yes,
certainly my understanding of how the adequacy formula works and how, we apportion dollars for our traditional public schools, it goes on a per pupil basis. So in other words, a school that has more students receives more funding. And that's the way our system works. So if that's the case, isn't it illogical, Commissioner, to assume that if students leave and go, whether it's homeschooling, charter school, something else, that there wouldn't be savings in variable costs? Isn't it illogical to assume that doesn't happen?
Also, as an accountant, I would tell you, yes, you would imagine that if you're no longer responsible for the education of a student, that you would have fewer costs to expend to educate since you're not responsible for that education. We also acknowledge that there are fixed costs associated with the schools, and we have modeled those in a number of scenarios, and even affording generous amounts of time to adjust those fixed costs, this charter school grant and the expansion of charter school opportunities in the state will save taxpayers funding.
So if I can ask another question, Mr. Chairman, I think that, the question by my esteemed colleague, Senator D'Alessandro, is maybe not the right question that, and Commissioner, if you can opine on this, that charter schools, which are public schools in New Hampshire, and traditional public schools, obviously public schools, should be seen as working collaboratively for the best outcomes for our children, because children, as you have stated previously, Commissioner, need different opportunities and choices. And by virtue of having a robust charter school system, both public schools, charters and traditional, can work together. Isn't that the case?
That is the case, and that's exactly where we want to be. We are creating kind of this innovative education, public education system, in which all parties benefit as we can all continue to transform the way that we engage students so that all of those students have the opportunity for success.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Any further questions? Seeing none, we have a motion. Not at this time. Seeing none, we have a motion and a second to accept the proposed grant. The clerk will call the roll. If you're in favor, you'll state yes. If opposed, you'll state no. The clerk will call the roll.
Representative Ober.
Well, to no one's surprise, my answer is yes.
Representative Leishman.
No.
Representative Emmerich.
Yes.
Representative Umberger. Yes. Senator Daniels.
Yes.
Senator Bradley.
Yes.
Senator Hennessy.
Hennessy, yes.
Senator Rosenwald.
No.
Senator D'Alessandro.
Thank you. As to Representative Ober's comments, to no surprise, my answer is no.
Representative Wyler.
Yes.
The vote is 7 yes, 3 no.
7 yes, 3 no. The motion passes. Congratulations, Commissioner Edelblue. We expect you to do your usual fine work.
Thank you very much.
All right, moving on. We next have, we have adopted the, accepted the LBA. Is there any other further information to come before us, Mr. Kane? I understand we have some, we're going to talk about the reports that are due. I'll recognize who's asking?
Caffer.
Leishman.
I heard the voice of both Ober and Leishman. Representative Ober, did you have something to add?
I was curious. This is the month that fiscal usually is asked to release the CAFR. I wondered where we were in that process.
That's what I'm about to do as I recognize Mr. Kane. Representative Leishman.
Yeah, I just wanted to, before we ended, just speak to the passing of Dick Hinch. When you think that's appropriate, Mr. Chairman, I would just like to add a few comments.
I appreciate that. After Mr. Kane's presentation, we will get to that. Mr. Kane is recognized.
Yes, thank you very much. Under miscellaneous, as Representative Ober had mentioned, this is the time of year that the CAFR will be released. They are on track to release the CAFR as well as the Turnpike Liquor and Lottery annual reports by the end of this month. I respectfully request the committee to accept, place on file, and release the fiscal year 2020 comprehensive annual financial report and the Turnpike Liquor and Lottery annual reports when they become available.
I recognize Representative Umberger for a motion.
So move.
And I'll second that motion.
All right, a motion and a second to accept the reports, place them on file, and release in the usual manner. Further discussion? Seeing none, the clerk will call the roll on the acceptance of the report.
Okay, Representative Ober.
I'd like to say, Mr. Kane, thanks to everybody for getting the audits out, and yes.
Representative Leishman.
Yes.
Representative Emmerich.
Yes.
Representative Umberger. Yes. Senator Daniels.
Yes.
Senator Bradley.
Yes.
Senator Hennessy.
Hennessy, yes.
Senator Rosenwald.
Yes.
Senator D'Alessandro.
Yes. Yes.
Representative Wyler.
Yes.
The vote is 10 yes, 0 no.
The motion is approved. Next call upon Representative Leishman for a comment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good job on your first day.
Sorry about the rocky
start. What's that?
Sorry about the rocky start with the...
Oh, no, that's not your fault. We'll blame AT&T or somebody for that. I had the pleasure of getting to know Dick Hinch back in 2018. Several of us, including Senator Daniels, were appointed to the Regulatory Reform Steering Committee by the governor. And I could tell you, I guess I was the lone Democrat on the committee, but Dick Hinch made everyone feel welcome. We worked on legislation that we all got behind. I believe even Senator Bradley signed on to our bill at the time. But Dick Hench was just a super, super gentleman in my mind and a super legislator. He knew how to bring people together. And a more personal story, when my son passed away, I looked up at the memorial service, and there was Dick Hench, and he came over and gave me this huge bear hug, and I'll never forget him for that. So I just wanted to say we've lost such a terrific colleague, and the House is worse for it.
I agree, and the fact he was unanimously elected both in the caucus and in the House was testament to his personality that we all recognize. This is being a very open and very charming person, and it's a terrible loss to the state. Anyone else?
Well said by Representative Leach. Well said by Kenny Weiler. Yeah. Anytime you lose someone, it's problematic. It's a real tragedy. But in Speaker Hinch's situation, 8 days as Speaker of the House of Representatives.
Yep.
Just a great tragedy, and our sincerest condolences to his family.
Very good,
Mr. Chairman. Minutes perhaps should provide that every member of fiscal is in agreement with the remarks that have been said.
Thank you very much. I think that's appropriate to go in the minutes. Is there anything further? We'll recognize Mr. Kane for a recommendation for the next fiscal meeting.
Sure. If the committee can either meet the second week in January, January 8th, or the third week is January 15th. You may want to consider January 15th. It does give the agencies enough time to submit to our office for review.
You're talking Wednesdays, or Tuesdays rather, right?
Would you like, typically fiscal has met on Fridays. It doesn't have to continue.
Fridays. I'm looking in the wrong, yeah. I'm looking in the wrong calendar.
Oh, that's okay.
All right.
So Friday the
15th. I like the 15th.
All right. Anybody else want to chime in on the 15th?
I like
Sounds
the 15th.
Sounds good to me. Very good.
15th is good.
Okay.
All right. So the next meeting of this committee will be January 15th, 2021. And I expect we'll have some items on the agenda by then. So I wish everyone some great Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and we'll see you in the next year.
Thank you, Kitty. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah to all of our Jewish friends, and to everyone else, a very Merry Christmas and a most happy and prosperous New Year. I'm very happy to get rid of 2020 and move to 2021.
Ditto on
See
that.
You later.
Ditto.
See you
yeah.
later,
Thank you very much.
Well,
who's doing the motion to adjourn?
I'll do it.
Senator D'Alessandro. A second is from
Hennessy.
I think we adjourned by consensus. Didn't we adjourn by consensus?
We'll adjourn by consensus.
We were adjourned by consensus. Any objection? Seeing none, we are
Thank
adjourned.
You.
Thank
okay,
you very much.
Take care.
Yep.
Bye.
All right. Thank you all. Goodbye. Goodbye.